When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
On DAB+, online, via the TalkSport app, and on your smart speaker.
Lions Daily on TalkSport 2.
How are you doing? It's TalkSport 2. I'm Tim Cocker and this is the Lions Daily, where every day you can catch up with the latest from the British and Irish Lions tour to South Africa. And it's game number two at the weekend, the first match in South Africa. And in a minute, you'll hear from Warren Gatland, who selected his 23-man squad for that one. Spoiler alert, Stuart Hogg is starting. He's skippering the side as well. And he's been talking to us. Hear from him too. And we'll put the focus on the tour captain, Conor Murray. With someone who knew him when he was a youth. And we'll also be getting the thoughts of someone else that knows Conor Murray quite well, as well as quite a bit about winning for the Lions. Brian O'Driscoll, we've picked Bod's brains for you on today's show as well. So got another belter for you then. And come Saturday afternoon or evening, we can focus on matters on the field once again for the Lions, and it's the Lions derby as the British and Irish Lions take on the Emirates Lions, live and exclusive on TalkSport 2.
So here we go on TalkSport 2, the British and Irish Lions tour 2021. Let's get the tour underway! Still an opportunity to come to the right wing for Josh Adams! Try scored!
Big overlap on the left-hand side. It's Liam Williams, out to Talipe Valita. Can he bounce off one? Bounce off two and put the ball down in the corner. Try given to Talipe Valita.
He gives the ball to Hogg and he sails through a gap and puts the hammer down. And Stuart Hogg has scored a try.
You've listened to past players of what it means to represent the Lions, and it means absolutely everything.
Just got a little teaser of what is to come from Stuart Hogg at the end there. Honestly, the chat, I can't wait to hear more from Stuart Hogg. The bits I've heard, he really means it when he's speaking. That is all to come on Lions Daily. Ollie Hunt is here as well. Ollie.
Yes, how do. I like this how do thing that you've got going on.
It's the North, mate.
Yeah, no, I like it. by the end of my stint working with you, I'll end up becoming a bona fide Northerner. Let's hope anyway.
Well, yeah. Before Ollie and I discuss the team that Warren Gatland has selected, let's hear from the Lions head coach. He was speaking to TalkSport's Alfie Reynolds earlier today.
There's a number of leaders in your squad. So when it comes to making the decision of who's going to captain the side, what goes into that decision?
You're looking at players that have had some experience, and Stuart's on his third tour now. He's did a good job, or great job, with Scotland. He'd come from a very successful club in Exeter, so you know, he's got that experience and leadership skills. And as he said, he's very, very calm, and goes out there and leads from the front in terms of the way that he plays and delivers concise and clear messages without, rambling on and raving. And I really like his leadership style and the way that he's been with the team this week. So there's a number of other players that potentially are in contention, and we've got a very strong leadership group, and we're going to need other players beside Conor Murray through this tour to captain the side. So we are fortunate that we've got a fair number of choices that we could possibly go to. And I think with losing Alan Wynn, it's been now the responsibility sort of on the leadership group and other players on the squad to step up and really support each other. And I think they've done a great job in doing that and taking on that mantle to make sure that it's not just Stuart's responsibility, but everyone's, you know, those experienced players are taking a role in terms of communicating and taking some of the pressure off the captain.
And a word on your opponents at the weekend, the Lions, they lost 4 out of 5 in the Rainbow Cup.
Yeah, we've had a reasonably a good look at them, and they're going to be strong up front. And so for us, the first game is always on tour is always, you know, difficult. Just getting up to speed. They're probably the least affected of the five teams in terms of, or the four teams in terms of the number of players that they would have lost to the Springbok squad. So, you know, they're going to be fairly settled and pretty strong. And for a lot of these players, it's a once in a sort of lifetime opportunity to play against the Lions. So, you know, they're going to be incredibly motivated to want to go and play well. And, you know, we understand there's not going to be any crowds, but that's not going to take away from their desire to want to be the first team to try and beat the Lions on tour.
And just finally, if I can ask you a question on Luke Cowan-Dickey, I presume he must have passed the return to play protocol, but how is he? Because it looked like a nasty knock he picked up in that Premiership final.
Yeah, when I spoke to him, first of all, I asked him how he was, and he said he was fine. He said he'd never been had a knock like that before. So he's done all the return to play protocols, and he's started to take a part in training. And so, look, he's another real competitor. We've got really experience in that hooking position, and the three of them are going to really fight it out. And I'm sure when he gets his opportunity, he's going to make the most of it.
Warren Gatland speaking to TalkSport 2's Alfie Reynolds. And a little shout to Alfie, by the way, because he's moving house and was off work. I mean, he loves it that much. He's like, oh, I'll speak to Gats. Yeah, no worries.
Yeah, I mean, he was about the fifth or sixth person that I tried. No, not that's not true, Alfie. I know you're going to be listening. So, but yeah, good work from Alfie as well there.
Yeah, really interesting stuff from Warren Gatland, particularly about the leadership. And we will talk more about that later in the show. But when you look at the 23-man squad that Warren Gatland has picked, Ollie, who jumps out? Who are you most excited to see on Saturday?
Well, firstly, I think we need to pat ourselves on the back because it's pretty much an amalgamation of what we'd said yesterday on yesterday's show. So well done you and well done me. But I think the thing that I'm most looking forward to seeing is the all-Scottish combination of Ali Price and Finn Russell at 9 and 10. I think it's definitely something that Gatland's going to try and work on, see these different combinations. I almost went into the way that Gatland says combinations then with that New Zealand lilt. But Finn Russell's a really exciting player. And Gatland, actually, later on in the press conference, he was asked specifically by some of the Scottish journalists about picking these two guys together. And he said, well, you know, Finn's, we know what he can do attacking wise, but actually he's matured as a person over the last year or two and got better defensively. So I think he's not only been picked for his attacking prowess, but, and I know we've got Owen Farrell as almost the defensive safety blanket there as well, but at 12, but that Finn Russell, Ali Price axis and how they're going to control the game. And let's see how Gregor Townsend's, how he's moulding these backs into his, you know, into his form and see how they end up playing. Because a lot of it, and I don't know whether you agree with me, Tim, is, oh, we're going to, the Lions are going to match South Africa up front. Well, they're going to have to score tries, and scoring tries is often done by those nippy guys at the back. And he's picked some exciting ones as well. How about you, Lewis Rees-Sammit? Or
yeah, the back line I find very, very exciting. 4 Scots in that back line. Finn Russell, by the way, I think one of the best performances of any individual during the Six Nations was Finn Russell away in France, where he absolutely controlled the game. So I think Warren Gatland sees that Finn Russell has matured and he's got way more to his game than those maverick moments, which he can do. But where I'm really excited is looking at that pack, because it is massive. It's absolutely ginormous. And clearly, with the selection of Courtney Laws at blindside flanker, we saw Tadhg Byrne against Japan. That seems to be the blueprint. I wonder whether it might be Tom Curry and Hamish Watson on the flanks, but he's gone for Courtney Laws, the hybrid lock flanker. That seems to be the blueprint in the way that Warren Gatland is going to go for this tour. That means, as I make it, Tom Curry, not in the 23, is the only original member of the squad, not including the two injury call-ups, who won't have featured by the end of this weekend, which is interesting. And I'm also wondering, is Anthony Watson, has he got a knock? Because Josh, well, actually, Macca, who is, have we got Macca telling us who's starting on the left wing?
Oh, yeah.
Josh Adams!
Lovely. But he's starting again. Anthony Watson came off the bench and I was expecting to see him on the wing. So I'm wondering whether he's got a little knock.
It's interesting you say that. Warren Gatland was asked specifically about if everyone's fit and available and ready to play. And also, he said there were no injury concerns. I don't know whether something's happened. Well, he wouldn't have said there were no injury concerns if there were no injury concerns. Robin McBride, a couple of days ago, reiterated that fact, that there were no injury concerns. All of the guys have made it over and no issues. So I wonder if Anthony Watson will be the guy, will be in that starting 15 on Wednesday against the Sharks.
We'll give it a look. But one interesting thing, when I look at the side, there were seven Irishmen against Japan. In the pack, there's five Englishmen, and in the backs, there's four Scots. So clearly, Warren Gatland is leaning on those international combinations. We know it's a shorter tour. They've got to get up and running as quick as possible, and that seems to be one of the ways he's doing it. Really interesting stuff. We've got more to come on the Lions Daily on TalkSport 2 with the famous grouse, the spirit of rugby, 18+, be drink aware. A reminder, commentary of every game on the Lions tour to South Africa across the TalkSport network, and this Friday too with the Springboks and their first game since the Rugby World Cup against Georgia on TalkSport 2, kick-off 6 p.m. Next, though, while our man in South Africa, Neil Manthorpe, has sat down with the captain for the Lions for Saturday's game, Stuart Hogg, who joined the party late after playing for Exeter, who benched him for that Premiership final last weekend. So he may feel he has a point to prove. Really looking forward to this one.
Stuart Hogg, Exeter Chiefs, Scotland.
Give the ball to Hogg and he sails through a gap and puts the hammer down, and Stuart Hogg has scored a try.
As a kid growing up, you watched all the different Lions DVDs and videos and you know, I had the dream of representing them one day, but to be given the opportunity to captain this side is absolutely amazing.
Stuart Hogg there. This is TalkSport 2, it's the Lions Daily. And yes, Stuart Hogg, well, he missed the start of the tour those first couple of weeks in Jersey because he was involved in the Premiership playoffs with Exeter Chiefs. He's got his bag of Lions stash now. He's got himself on the plane with the group, and as you will hear right now, he was really open and honest, speaking in Johannesburg with TalkSport's Neil Manthorpe.
Stuart, I feel obliged to say that you've been speaking now for about an hour and a half in your duties as your new duties as captain. You still got the voice for it? No, I mean, it is an honour, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a huge honour. You know, for me to be in a position to represent the Lions is the ultimate dream come true, and to be in a position to captain it, never in my wildest dreams I think this would come to me, but look, it is a huge honour, and I'm very much looking forward to the challenge.
I still remember 2013 when you were carrying that little baby lion around down in Australia. That seems like a long time ago, but it was a long time ago.
It seems like a long time ago, but it also feels like yesterday as well. Means I'm getting older a bit now, doesn't it? But brilliant, absolutely tremendous. I loved that tour. I learnt a huge amount about myself as a person and myself as a player. And you know, for me on that tour, I sit behind and learn from the legend that is Lee Halfpenny, and it was absolutely outstanding. And it really gave me the drive and the hunger to be the best that I could possibly be. And I feel since then that it's helped me massively.
On the one hand, two previous Lions tours mean that you've seen it, you've felt it, you know how big it is, but you haven't got on the park for a test match. So yeah. I don't know. You've got the experience, but you haven't got a jersey yet.
Yeah, it's something that hurts a little bit. You know, for me, you know, unfortunately, I picked up the injury in 2017 when I was playing some of my best rugby, and I've kept it quiet since then. But it's something that's really hurt me deep down for a long, long time, and it's made me hungrier and want to get better and want to be back and have another opportunity to represent the Lions. And you know, I've worked incredibly hard for it for a number of years, but the hard work for me doesn't stop. It'll never stop. It makes me want to be the best that I can be to represent the British Irish Lions in a test match is absolutely everything. So, look, all I can do is work incredibly hard on a day-to-day basis, play to the best of my ability when given opportunity, and we'll see what comes of it.
You're obviously best known for all the metres you've made, your speed, your attacking skill, your incisive running, and yet in a Lions series, I suppose, you know, people are expecting that cagey defence and keep it tight and keep it amongst the packs. What would you say to those who say that you might be slightly too expansive and maybe a bit of a risk for the first test?
Look, I think the biggest thing I've learned in life is that everybody's entitled to their own opinion. But there's only one man's opinion that counts, and that's Warren Gatland. You know, if he has confidence in my playing ability, then, you know, look, I'd like to think I'll be playing, but there's a huge amount of competition here. You know, for me, Liam Williams is one of the best fullbacks in world rugby. And to be in a position to compete alongside him, to learn from him, is massive for me. And you know, like Elliot Daly, Anthony Watson, you know, world class players. And I find myself very, very fortunate to be around these guys on a day to day basis. And look, at the end of the day, we've got a huge amount of competition for places, and the best 23 will represent the Lions in the test matches. And if for the boys that aren't involved or won't be involved, they'll still have the same common goal of making sure that this team is prepped in the best possible way to be a part of a successful Lions tour.
When teams talk about the Springboks, they inevitably talk about size and physicality. I mean, that's the first thing that seems to come to everybody's lips. Even the opposition, they talk about these monster men in the pack and the physicality in the midfield, and guys like Damien Deolandi and Lucanio Am. Do you think it's overplayed? I mean, you've also got guys like Cheslin Kolbe.
Yeah, I think, as soon as you play any South African player, any South African team, you know you're in for a massively physical challenge, but it's one that excites people. It's one that you want to try and get the best out of. But I think we've got, you know, very, very intelligent coaches that'll figure out a game plan that's going to, you know, first and foremost work for us, but also challenge the opposition. And, you know, I've seen it over the last kind of few days of the way that we're going to try and play, and it excites me. It excites me massively, and I know it does for the rest of the boys as well. There will be times that we'll have to be confrontational, and there will be times that we're going to have to move them around and implement a spot-on kicking game. But we've got that in our armoury, and as I say, it's a hugely exciting time for everybody involved in the British and Irish Lions team.
Competition for places is across the board, as you've just mentioned. At what point, or are you at that point now, where you are 37 men pulling in the same direction as one team? I mean, because you all want the start, you all want the jersey.
That's the easiest thing in terms of how we can gel as a team. We're all here for the same goal, the same purpose, and that's to be a part of a successful tour. And for me, when you train alongside these guys, you see what the intensity they bring, the quality, the skill level, the experience that everybody's got. It just makes you want to be better and makes you want to be a part of it. And I've absolutely loved my first few days being in camp. And for me, it's only going to get better. It's only going to get better. And you know, you always kind of touch on, you know, you've listened to past players of what it means to represent the Lions. And it means absolutely everything. You know, it means everything. And I know that every single player, member of management, you know, I think there's 80 odd people on tour. We're all here for the same goal and the same purpose, and we're all striving to get the best out of each other on a daily basis.
And briefly then, just and finally, the tour, I'm glad you're enjoying it. I mean, there's a lot to enjoy and, you know, to look forward to on the field. But, you know, here we are having an outdoor interview, a scenic setting with the fountains by the side of us, and yet this whole complex is normally thriving. It's normally got thousands and thousands of people here. There's restaurants everywhere, you know, entertainment facilities, movies, sit theatres, and it's all shut. It feels really quite eerie. Does it feel eerie to you?
It's definitely different. But I think the unfortunate thing for us over the last kind of year or so is that we've all played in games that we've had no fans or limited fans. But at the end of the day, we also count ourselves very, very fortunate that we're in a position to continue doing what we love doing. And for us to have no fans across here, yes, it is going to be difficult because we're used to a sea of red. We're used to, you know, tens of thousands of people coming out here and supporting us. We fully understand the kind of challenge and the pressure that comes with a Lions tour, but we're here to first and foremost win a Lions tour and make sure that we make our people, our sea of red back home, proud of what they're seeing, proud of what we're putting out in the park on a weekly basis. And when they look in at us, they see a bit of themselves in us, and by that I mean, you know, boys that will be willing to go to dark places, get up off the deck all the time, work incredibly hard because they'll be putting their hard-earned money to come and support us. So we need to repay them in terms of, like, obviously they're not going to be here, but we need to show them that we're here for the main reason, that's to win a Lions tour. And when they look in at us, they're really, really proud, and they'll get right behind us and they'll see a bit of themselves in us.
Best of luck on Saturday night.
Thank you very much. Cheers.
Stuart Hogg with TalkSport's Neil Manthorpe. There is a man with a steely focus. Now he's on tour and about to play his first game for the British and Irish Lions in 2021, Stuart Hogg. The things I absolutely loved about that, he said, I've kept it quiet on the fact he hasn't received a test cap before, despite going on two tours. I've kept it quiet, but it's something that hurts me deeply. What a great insight.
It's an amazing line, isn't it? And props to Neil Manthorpe for getting something like that from him, because Stuart did the 25-minute long press conference with Warren Gatland earlier today. So there were both of them there, and it was some questions to Stuart. Alfie asked a couple of questions to Stuart, but because we had this, we'll play this. Some questions to Stuart, some questions to Warren Gatland. He didn't say that. And that is an absolutely incredible quote, and it shows that how much the Lions meant. He said it later on, that the Lions means everything to me, everything. Yeah. These are the kind of things that they kind of go down in history as monumental moments for these players. And Stuart Hogg is going to put himself firmly in the shop window for, as he said, a very competitive position in that back three on Saturday. And I tell you what a fantastic interview and hearing from him in full there. Brilliant.
Yeah, it was brilliant. The other thing I really found revealing was him talking about when he was asked about the style that the Lions are going to play. He said, it excites me massively. He acknowledged that they'll have to kick and be physical at times. You play in South Africa, that's how it'll have to be. But that says to me, that is a hint that it's very much a Gregor Townsend kind of attack, which might be something we look at in terms of looking ahead to the game against the Emirates Lions this weekend when we chat to our analyst Ross Hamilton in a little bit. But right now, we're going to continue with our chats we've had with some Lions greats, and we have an absolute legend right now, Brian O'Driscoll. He's been speaking to Andrew McKenna thanks to Land Rover, and here's Brian talking about that potent backline options that the Lions possess.
There's an array in that Lions back three. You want to get them the ball as much as you can, particularly Stuart Hogg. He's in the form of his life at the moment, so hopefully he'll be able to maintain fitness. He's been unlucky. He was unlucky obviously 4 years ago in New Zealand. You want your best players out there, and you're going to need them, and the versatility of his game, of being a ball carrier, his footwork, his speed, his acceleration, his kicking game, his defensive qualities, you're going to need all of that in counteracting whatever South Africa have in their weaponry and their backline.
It sounds like you've kind of understand what Warren's thinking with his squad there. Has Ireland as a nation maybe calmed down on Johnny Sexton's behalf yet?
I think the reality is that people could understand, the rationale for why Gats didn't pick him. You know, there was an article the following day saying Johnny Sexton hadn't finished three games in a row since 2018. So it's not that it's unfounded. There's something in it. And I think the Irish nation, as much as certain factions were disappointed, I'm sure lots of people thought, well, that's fair enough. You know, some people have been calling for, you know, Johnny Sexton to hang up his boots for a while. They don't feel he's anything like the player he was once. But when you look at his performance against England, I suppose that's what I know that he can deliver. And there's muscle memory in players like that. You don't lose things. So listen, anyway, Johnny Sexton's not being selected. We need to, you know, you can get over that. Finn Russell's a fantastic player. Dan Biggar's a fantastic player. Owen Farrell can fit in a 10 if needs be, you're not losing a whole lot. It's much of a muchness. These guys have been selected. They deserve their opportunity on the performances that they've delivered for their respective national teams and club teams. So you would imagine that they'll take their opportunity because they're competitive animals.
Brian O'Driscoll talking with Andrew McKenna there. Just picking up on one thing that Bod said, talking about the fly half position, and he said Owen Farrell can fit in at 10 if needs be. Well, one thing we did get from Warren Gatland earlier during the press conference was that Owen Farrell will be played at 10 during one of the games before the test matches.
Yeah, and we go back to that buzzword of over the last week or so since they landed in South Africa, combinations. Mm-hmm. And seeing different styles, seeing how different players react and the all the combinations and ways that they're going to play. So, yeah, exciting stuff. And that shows why Owen Farrell was picked. He does that 10 and 12 option.
Absolutely. It's the Lions Daily on TalkSport 2 with the famous grouse, the spirit of rugby, 18 plus, be drink aware. Commentary of every game of the Lions tour to South Africa across the TalkSport network. And in a moment, our Lions Daily player profile is going to focus on the Munster and Ireland scrum half and the new tour captain, Connor Murray.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Lions Daily on TalkSport 2.
Coming at it, 10 metres out, they go down the right-hand side, Connor Murray for the score! Connor Murray, it opened up in front of him, and there was the opportunity, he simply picked it up from the base, there was no guard for New Zealand, and Connor Murray scores!
Connor Murray, Munster Rugby, Ireland.
We haven't been on two. After the one in New Zealand in 2017, you're kind of trying to map it out, you know, what age you'll be and do you have a chance? And, you know, there was always that outside chance and, you know, body feels great, I feel fit, I feel in form.
We've got some big British and Irish Lions news to come to you. Captain Alan Wynne-Jones has been ruled out after picking up a dislocated shoulder.
Ireland scrum half Connor Murray has been named the tour captain for the British and Irish Lions tour to South Africa.
He's Gats type of player. He's very good at controlling things. He's got a good box kick. Likeable guy, really nice guy. So, yeah, just someone that, the boys can really, would get behind and fight for, really.
Welcome back to the Lions Daily. You heard a little earlier from Stuart Hogg just how intensely that passion is burning to get a test cap. Connor Murray has had a few under his belt. You heard commentary there of his try in that second test against New Zealand 4 years ago. Great memories. And just to try and build a picture, fill in the little jigsaw pieces of these guys that we're cheering for out there in South Africa at the moment, we want to find some of the people that know them best. And after a really assured performance in his first press conference as the new Tour captain, which had Ollie Hunter raving about him as a skipper. He loves him. We are going to speak to someone else very familiar with the Munster and Ireland scrum half, John Quilligan, president of Connor's hometown club, Gary Owen. How you doing, John?
Good, and yourself?
I'm very well. How does it feel to know that you've got another Lions skipper that's come through Gary Owen?
Look, I think, you know, all of us in Dura Doyle, Tim, are very proud of what Conor has achieved over his career. And I think, you know, the fact that he has been picked to replace Alan Jones as a captain for the current tour only embellishes his achievements, you know, and it's testament to the respect and admiration which is held by his peers. And it's a source of great excitement for us. Having said that, I mean, you have to have a great sense of sympathy for Alan Jones, you know, an outstanding player, record number of caps going into his fourth tour, and to have to lose out in that way. And but to have Conor come up and replace him from a Gary Owen point of view is tremendous.
Well said, John. Gary Owen, a famous name in its own right, and has produced some famous Lions down the years. Keith Wood, David Wallace, among the players you've seen come through in more recent years. Conor Murray could become the most decorated of all of your Lions.
Yeah, I think, you know, as a club, Tim, like, we were founded back in 1884, so we have a long tradition to build up to. We're very much part of the local community. And, like, we have a passion to win at the highest level. We've won three All-Ireland Leagues and 39 Munster Senior Cups, more than any other team. So we were kind of used to competing at that level. And our club has a very proud tradition of producing players for the international stage. 56 players that have represented Ireland, and uniquely, we've had a player captain in every position. And as you just said, Conor is our 10th line and the first to lead the touring party. And if you look back over the list of lines that have come out of Gary Owen, there's very much a family link. Like you mentioned, David Wallace. David toured in 2001 and 9, and his brother had previously toured in 1993. And Keith Wood, or Stoke Woody, who'd be known to all, toured in 97 and 2001, and his father had previously toured in 1959. So it's a long tradition going back, and it's one that we're very proud of.
How much has he grown as a person? What can you remember about the young Conor Murray?
Well, I think the thing about Conor grew up in Patrick's Well, which was very much a GAA area, kind of hurling and Gaelic football, and would have played Gaelic football locally for his local team. Now, he would have had a strong family link to the club through his grandfather, Con Roach, his mother's father, who was a club legend back in the 1940s and who played actually a play for Munster against the touring Australian team in 1947. Conor came to us to the underage. He also played rugby with St. Munchens. And the one thing you'd always say about Conor is that he always had a great work ethic. He forced his way into the senior team at the age of 19. And like, he has fond memories of playing in the local AIL derbies at that time. And as always said, that had given a great grounding for what was to follow in his representative career.
And if you could give a message to Conor right now, if you were talking to him and not me, what would you say?
Well, what I said to Conor is, what we can relate to him already, is that we have huge pride in what he's achieved. He's a huge example and a great representative for all that Gary Owen represents. And we wish him every best wish in the tests to come and in his captaincy. We have huge confidence in him, and we look forward to seeing what happens in the next couple of weeks.
John, thank you so much for your time.
Okay, thank you very much indeed.
Top man. John Quilligan, president of Conor Murray's hometown club, Gary Owen. And, well, I think he's just confirmed what we've kind of established, that Conor Murray's a pretty special human being.
What a line of players and a history in Gary Owen Rugby Club. Amazing stuff. And you hear it with a lot of these Irish players that they grew up in the kind of GAA areas and transferred those skills into playing rugby. I saw actually on some of the Lions media stuff that they're doing, either on YouTube or on Twitter, Liam Williams with, I think they call it a hurling stick, smacking a ball around whilst they were down in Jersey. So some of there's balance and fitness issue, fitness similarities that really do cross over. And Conor Murray is just showing that he is he's able to control the game, but he's really showing his leadership skills as well. And I'm sure, well, we'll have all of the players in the stands watching on Saturday, but he'll be as pleased as anyone that Stuart Hoggett's captaining the side on Saturday as well.
Just on the hurling thing, by the way, many a time I have stood in the fields in South Manchester near where I live, my local rugby club. There's on Thursday nights, there's people come down and do hurling, and it's crazy some of the skills they've got. It's outrageous.
It's amazing, isn't it? It's a great sport.
It is. So in terms of leadership, a lot of people have sort of said about Conor Murray, oh, you know, it's a big challenge. He hasn't captained Munster or Ireland. But I was looking again at the squad, and there are 19 men in the 2021 Lions squad that were in New Zealand 4 years ago. Among them, two national captains, Owen Farrell and Stuart Hogg, but some massive names. So in a funny way, could this be the easiest captaincy gig going, in a sense, with all those people around you?
I mean, you've got all of those people with all of that experience, and they're leaders amongst their countries. They've been leaders throughout their careers. Some of the biggest leaders don't actually have that that captaincy moniker placed upon them, but they're leaders that we don't see in the dressing room or on the practice field or whatever. So I think the fact that he hasn't officially had it for Munster and Ireland or elsewhere down the age groups, I don't think that's an issue at all. He would have, and he said it, he'll be drawing from Paul O'Connell, Peter O'Mahony, Rory Best, Talk Sports, Rory Best. So all of those people will have an influence in the way that he conducts himself and leads, either with by example, or maybe he will become a more rabble rousing, fist pumping kind of leader. We'll wait to see in the games. But it's a fascinating thing to have bestowed upon you on the eve of the biggest tour in 4 years.
Yeah. Well, Conor Murray will be the tour captain from the sidelines this Saturday. No Irishman in the starting 15. There were seven against Japan. Warren Gatland, as I've mentioned before, leaning on those international combinations. And I think we should throw our attention forward to that game at the weekend, which we will do next on the Lions Daily on TalkSport 2 with the famous grouse, the spirit of rugby, 18+, be drink aware. And yeah, let's preview that Lions derby with our analyst Ross Hamilton next and look back at an incredible Lions moment as well that happened 4 years ago today.
And now the blow on the whistle from Jerome Garces would seem to indicate they are going to look at the TV replay.
I can't believe they're even considering it. It's a clear red card.
Red card shown to Sonny Bill Williams. 24 and a half minutes played.
Odin Barrett will put the ball onto the kicking tee.
He steps up at the start of the second, but has missed. Now, big overlap on the left-hand side. It's Liam Williams out to Talupe Valita. Can he bounce off one? Bounce off two and put the ball down in the corner. Try given to Talupe Valita.
Great step. Goose step by Valita. And the finish is fantastic. For a number 8 playing on the wing, he knows how to score tries.
Now the Lions are coming at it. 10 metres out. They go down the right-hand side. Conor Murray for the score! Conor Murray, it opened up in front of him, and there was the opportunity.
Owen Farrell, two steps forward, right-footed, it's on the way.
The Lions fans behind the post away to our left-hand side had their arms in the skies immediately that it was hit, and Farrell adds the conversion that ties this game up once again.
Owen Farrell steps back. Now comes into the ball,
strikes it right-footed. The Lions fans like it, Owen Farrell likes it. The touch judges like it. The Lions lead for the first time on the evening. The Lions win the second test of a Lions series for the first time since 1997. And we're all going to Eden Park next weekend. Series still alive. The Lions win in Wellington, 24 points to 21.
What a memory. 1st of July 2017, 4 years ago today, that second test in New Zealand. I remember because it was in the morning, it was a bacon balm I watched that with rather than a beer, but awesome memories. The Sonny Bill Williams red card, that Conor Murray sniping through for a try, getting through by the skin of their teeth. We will be looking back at some of the great moments in Lions history on Lions Daily. But right now, I want to look forward to this weekend's game, and with the help of our resident analyst, Ross Hamilton, who is joining me now. Hi, Ross.
Hi, Tim. How's it going?
I'm very well. Now, you've been crunching the numbers off the back of the Japan game a little bit, so I want to get straight into that for a second. What does the Japan game tell us about the style of play that Warren Gatland is going to bring in, and where did the Lions get their success at the weekend from your perspective?
Well, it was very interesting. We previewed the Japan game this time last week, and we previewed their victory over South Africa in a famous win in 2015. And what we suggested is they didn't necessarily outperform them, but they were very efficient. They took their chances. Now, if I'm honest, that's exactly what I've seen in here. So Japan actually made more carries, more meters, more clean breaks, more defenders beaten than the Lions. But what the Lions did very well was exactly what Japan was so good at, and being very efficient. So that's efficient across the park. It's not just in terms of their point scoring, although they were. It was very efficient in completing their possessions, not many possession errors, as well as their red zone efficiency. And that's really what got them the scoreline that they did. Again, not performing necessarily better than Japan, or Japan were very good, but the Lions were able to take their chances when they came to them.
That is interesting. Defenders beaten, that is an interesting one. But then, the Lions made it count when they had the pressure. In terms of looking ahead to this weekend, Ross, it's the selection of Courtney Laws on the blindside flank, following on from Tadhg Byrne. I wondered if we might see Tom Curry and Hamish Watson on the flanks, but this might indicate this is the way Gatland's going. If it does, how does that hybrid six-lock situation affect the way they play?
Well, just a quick note on that. I mean, the Lions made 14 turnovers on the weekend, so they don't necessarily need two out-and-out sevens. They've got players across the park to do that. In terms of this hybrid six and second row, I think it's just a nod to the athleticism and the physicality of second rows these days. You could play Marrow at six, arguably Johnny Hill, Courtney Laws, Tadhg Byrne. They are enormous men, but have the athleticism, the physicality, again, to be able to play six, and of which you then don't lose much around the park. You know, yes, they'll offer another line-out option. Tadhg Byrne won three line-outs on the weekend. He is a genuine option, so he creates space for the other second rows. But it's just sort of a measure of the kind of animals these guys are nowadays. Second rows aren't just lumbering beasts anymore. They offer real dynamism around the park. Tadhg Byrne, again, a prime example with his try on the weekend. And I just want to sort of make a note of this, or a nod to the perhaps some of the omissions. And even with Adam Wynne-Jones going out and Adam Beard getting called up, a lot of clamour over James Ryan or Johnny Gray, for example. But very solid players. Johnny Gray didn't miss a single tackle in the Six Nations, has missed one for donkey's years. James Ryan only missed one. However, their actual physical contribution and influence on a game isn't that great. To give you an example, the numbers here for their dominant collisions, which is in a carry, Johnny Gray was the lowest of all second rows in the Six Nations, and James Ryan was the second lowest. So just sort of a measure that actually their outputs and their perhaps game-winning or game-contributing moments aren't as high as the rest of these guys who have the physical ability to either play in the second row or at six.
That's really interesting, Ross. The quality and the quantity, you can't just measure it by just box-ticking numbers. Actually, the impact of some of these collisions that are going on. That's fascinating stuff. As we look ahead to the Emirates Lions game, what are the British and Irish Lions facing on Saturday?
I listened to Warren Gatland's interview earlier, and he was obviously very diplomatic about it. They are the worst of the four provincial teams that we're going to be facing. They did only win one game. It was by a point. Even if you just look at the sort of the very basic numbers, they scored the least tries and points in this competition, in the Rainbow Cup that's just happened, and they conceded the most tries and points. So, you know, just based off of those two factors, they're not very well set up. They've only contributed one player, again, as Gatland said, towards the squad. So, yes, they might not be disruptive, but then they also don't have the calibre of player. That player was Wanisele Simelane, and he's currently uncapped. So, out of the options that we have, out of those four, I think this first one on tour to be against the Emirates Lions is possibly the nicest, shall we say, for our British and Irish Lions to be facing. And they'll stand a pretty good chance of putting their game plan onto the game and dominating that.
So there you go. Ross Hamilton is saying it's going to be an absolute hammering. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah. Easy win.
Comfortable win. I wonder, actually, with the... Will we see it being chucked around a bit, do you reckon? Or I'm talking to you more as a fan now, I guess, Ross. But what do you want to see? Do you want to see them take advantage of a weaker opposition, or do you want to see them go through the processes that they might have to do come a test match?
I mean, I'd love to see both. I'll answer as a fan, but also as an analyst, and I'll tell you some of the numbers from the Japan game as well. I think we mentioned this last week. We had a look at the playmaker balances, so it shows sort of where each team is trying to initiate their plays from. And we had a huge percentage of play come off of 10, actually very little off of 9, off of 12, sorry. We only had 9% come off of our 12. So it's an interesting dynamic with, say, Finn Russell at 10 and Owen Farrell at 12, is whether he is going to provide an outlet for Finn Russell to be a backup if they need to sort of get rid or play some territory game and let Finn Russell just be that expansive, wide, exciting player that we know he is. And maybe he has that freedom then within the structure that the Lions are trying to play. Again, just a couple of more stats from the weekend. The Lions kicked 67% of their possession. So two-thirds of all their possession had a kick within that at some point. So it's a very clear tactic from the Lions, you'd suggest, to play that territory game, which is great. And that's certainly something you're going to need against South Africa especially. But this might be, as you said, exactly the right opportunity to just unleash Finn Russell and his back line, let them play, always having that outlet of Owen Farrell if they need it.
Absolutely. Can't wait for this one. Thank you, Roscoe. Appreciate your time, mate.
Pleasure. Cheers, mate.
Ross Hamilton, our analyst for this summer of the British and Irish Lions tour of South Africa. And I'm properly excited about the game now. So let's wrap up today's Lions Daily on TalkSport 2 with the famous grouse, the spirit of rugby, 18 plus, be drink aware. Now you can listen to this show again, previous shows in the podcast section of the TalkSport app. And that first Lions game in South Africa is live here on TalkSport 2 on Saturday. It's a 5 p.m. kickoff. And tomorrow evening, you can also hear South Africa play their first game since the Rugby World Cup final. That's against Georgia. The game's in Pretoria, 6 p.m. kickoff. And we've got every minute of that one too, right here.
Lions Daily on TalkSport 2.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.